Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God, and we praise the Lord for this day. If this is your first time listening today, we say welcome to you. And if you've been a faithful listener for many years, we are thankful for you. And we thank the Lord for this radio station and for all the prayers and provision over the many years, 20 years now we're celebrating being on the radio broadcast. So today we're going to be talking about the basics of salvation. And so this is a very important topic for those of you who don't know if you're saved, and even if you do think you're saved, it will reassure you and give you confidence and give you assurance that God has made a way for you to have eternal life with Him, that God has made a way for you to live with Him in all eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with the saints of old, and all your family members who confess Jesus. And so you're going to want to listen to every word of this broadcast. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to Matthew chapter 12, and we'll start in verse 34 here. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we get into the message, just want to give you a brief update. What's going on here in Kenya? We're getting the children back into school now, and we have about 20 to 25 children we're putting in various schools, and we also support another 45 or so in a preschool. So altogether, we're taking care of about 85 or so children that we're putting in schools of different places. Some day schools, some boarding schools, some overnight boarding schools, some vocational schools. And so we have a wide variety of children we're helping and a wide variety of schools that we are placing them in. Pray about your part in all of that. If you want to help us to get these children educated, prepare them to be good citizens of Kenya and good citizens of the kingdom of God, stay tuned to the end of the broadcast for contact information. Well, today we're going to be talking about the basics of salvation. And as I said in the preview, for those of you who are not born again, you're going to want to listen to every word of this broadcast, because there's a lot of misconceptions, a lot of false teaching, a lot of misunderstanding on what it means to be saved. And so you can know if you're saved, you can know and have assurance, have certainty if you're saved, if you're born again. You will know it, you will feel it, you will be assured. And so in Matthew 12, Jesus is speaking here to the Pharisees, and you'll notice here that he talks about the heart. The heart is the center of what you receive from your surroundings. Out of the abundance of the heart, the words come. And so what's in your heart is murders, what's in your heart is anger, what's in your heart is blessings, what's in your heart is joy and peace. All of these things come out of the heart, and it is expressed to the world around you through the words that you speak. And so in Matthew 12:34, Jesus says, "You brood of vipers," he's speaking to the Pharisees here, "you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things." Verse 36, "But I say to you, for that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment." Verse 37, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And so salvation begins in the heart. You receive testimonies from other people. You receive testimonies from your parents, from your family. You receive testimonies from things that you hear on the radio, on the TV, and in other ways through social media. And you also receive a testimony from God's creation. Romans 1 verse 20 says that the invisible attributes of God are made known through his creation, and so we can know God and know something about God. What a magnificent, what an awesome, what a deep and unfathomable God he is. We can know that by looking at creation, because we know, looking at creation, no man could have created all the things that we see, the order of the universe, the sun, the moon, all of the planets, the stars, and everything that we see. No man could have created that, and the order that goes with it. Everything is managed by clockwork. Everything is managed by order, and so we can see the invisible attributes of God just by looking at his creation. And so then, after the heart has received the input, the testimonies, and the creation, and everything that we know about God, then we speak that which we know. We speak the testimony, that which we know, and by your words, verse 37, by your words, you will be justified, or you will be judged as righteous, and by your words, you will be condemned. And so what you speak about Jesus Christ, what you speak about God, what you speak about the Holy Spirit, that is what either brings your justification, that when God sees you, he sees you as a righteous person. When God sees you, looks down upon you, looks down upon your life, he sees you just as he sees his Son, Jesus Christ, who covered your sins with his blood. And so your sins are washed away. God sees you as a righteous person. God sees you as he sees his Son, Jesus Christ. And so by your words, you are justified, and by the same token, by your words, you are condemned. And so if you deny Jesus Christ, or you spend your whole life cursing at God, or cursing at Jesus, when you curse and when you deny, those things then will come back to condemn you, because you have not acknowledged the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to convict you of your sin. You have not acknowledged the importance of God in your life to give you what you have, to give him honor and glory and credit for what you have. And so your words then will condemn you, and your words will send you to hell, or your lack of testimony of what God has done for you, your lack of testimony that you believe in Jesus Christ, it will come back to condemn you, and you will spend your life in eternal hell, in eternal damnation, separated from God. God doesn't send people to hell. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. It's not God's desire that any should perish, tells us that in 2 Peter chapter 3. It's not God's desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, all should come to know the Lord, all should come to know Jesus Christ, his Son, and that is God's will. So he did not create hell for humans. He created it for the devil and his angels, but for those who deny and those who never give an account of their life to God regarding Jesus Christ and acknowledge God and acknowledge Jesus, they will spend eternity separated from God. They will spend eternity, and they will forever regret the decision that they made to not confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So confession begins in the heart. You confess that you love the Kansas City Chiefs, or you confess that you love the Royals, or you confess that you love your children or your grandchildren, and so it is also, you have to confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. So in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus here is talking about the confession that you have to make. In verse 32, he says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And so when you confess Jesus Christ, Jesus says, I'm going to be an advocate for you in heaven. Whenever the devil comes and accuses you, makes accusation against you that you don't know the Lord God, that you don't know Jesus Christ, whenever the devil makes that accusation against you in heaven, you are going to have an advocate. Jesus Christ is going to say, no, devil, I cancel what you're saying. No, devil, I'm not going to allow you to speak that in the courts of heaven. I'm advocating for this person because he confessed me before men. And so confession before men is very important. It's not God's desire that you just stay out in the wilderness. It's not God's desire that you stay in your closet or in your cave and never confess before men. He wants you to confess before men so that other people, your family, your friends, other people will know and hear that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He doesn't want secret agent Christians who walk around speaking in their hands or speaking into their shirt, speaking into their elbow. He wants to have you speak before men so that other people know and are encouraged that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's why we have altar calls at the Crusades. We ask people to come forward. We ask people to make a decision, and then we ask them questions, and we ask them, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And then we ask them to say either yes or no. Sometimes we even put the microphone in front of their mouth, and we say, do you believe? Say yes or no. Then we ask them, and then do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? After 3 days, he was resurrected, and he now sits at the right hand of God. Yes or no? And we put the microphone in front of their mouth again. And so we ask them to make a decision before men so that no one watching or listening can be mistaken about what is taking place and what they're confessing to and what they're saying in their confession of faith. It is clear and open. Transparent, everybody sees, everybody understands, everybody hears. Well, there's a great example of confession in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he says in verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, he just gave a clue right there. He calls himself the Son of Man. I've never heard anyone else call themselves the Son of Man. And when you read it in the New Testament, those words are capitalized, Son of Man are capitalized, which indicates the divinity of Jesus Christ. But at any rate, he tells them who he is. Well, that detail skipped over their heads. And verse 14, so they said, some say you are John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? So he's trying to pin them down. Who do you believe that I am? What do you believe? Not what others say about me, not what your cousin or your uncle or your grandpa or somebody else says about me. What do you believe? And who do you believe that I am? And then in verse 16, this is the confession that Jesus wanted someone to say. And Simon Peter, he stands up and he says this. Simon Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so that is the confession that God asks us all to make. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then in verse 17, Jesus answered and said to Simon, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. In other words, this was a heavenly revelation. This was a heavenly confession. This was the confession that Jesus was looking for, and he got Simon Peter to speak it out and to say what Jesus was wanting him to say. And then in verse 18, he says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter," which means rock. "I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock," or this Petra, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." And so Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against this rock. Don't misunderstand Peter's confession, and don't misunderstand what Jesus has said to him when he says, "And upon this rock, upon this Petra, I will build my church." He's not talking about Peter. Peter wasn't the first founder of the church. He wasn't the Pope, the first person to establish the church universal. Jesus is talking about the confession of faith that Peter has made upon this rock, upon this confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, shall not prevail against it. Then Jesus goes on to say, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And so you can bind, you have the authority, we have the authority to bind the devil here on the earth, and whatever we bind, whatever the devil is doing that goes against the kingdom of God, we can bind it in the name of Jesus. We have that authority, we have that power. It's not your power, it's the power of God that God gives you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit gives you. It's the power of Jesus Christ and his confession that allows you to bind the devil's work here on this earth, and whatever you loose shall be loosed in heaven. You can loose that Holy Spirit. You can loose the angels. You can loose your own life by breaking the chains off of your life. You can loose other people's life to some degree by, through your prayers, breaking the chains off of them, through your prayers, sending the angels to war over demon spirits in other people's lives. And so you can loose the Holy Spirit. You can loose revelation, you can loose deliverance, and you can help other people move into their kingdom destiny and their kingdom calling. So when you make that confession of faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that you believe that, you will be given the keys of heaven. Beloved, that is something that should make you rejoice. That is something that should make you want to shout hallelujah. When you have the keys of heaven, you have the authority to move forward in your life. The devil may try to stop you. The devil will come against you. You'll have all kinds of spiritual warfare. You'll have a target on your back. The devil won't be happy with you. And whenever you try to move forward in the kingdom, you're going to see warfare in your life. Well, praise God for that. Jesus said, the devil hated me and the world hated me, and they will hate you also. Don't think that you're better than your master. Don't think that somehow if you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and you confess his name, somehow it's just going to be a cakewalk and a party for the rest of your life. No, it's just the opposite. You're going to have lots of warfare. You're going to have a target on your back. The devil is going to torment you. He's going to try to take you out of your destiny and your calling. And so you're going to have warfare. You're going to have persecution. You might as well get used to the idea. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake, for great will be your reward in heaven." And so you have the keys to heaven. You also are going to have rewards in heaven. Also, you're going to have the help from heaven. You're going to have the encouragement from heaven. The angels of God will be helping you. The angels of God will be encouraging you. And so you're going to have all of that. The keys from heaven will open up doors for you. Whatever God has called you to do, you're going to be able to go into those doors. You're going to be able to go through those doors, and you're going to be able to fulfill the things that God has called you to do. And so the keys of heaven will be yours. They're more valuable than any car keys you ever had. They're more valuable than any house key you ever had. The keys to the kingdom of heaven will give you authority and give you access to heavenly power, the heavenly realms, the angels of God to assist you, your guardian angel to assist you. All these things will be yours because you have kingdom authority. Well, in Romans chapter 10, turn over there in your Bible, Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 8. This is the Apostle Paul talking about salvation to the believers in Rome. And he says in 10:8, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach." In other words, the word of God is close to you. Well, we have the Bible, but it's actually closer than that. It's in your heart and it's in your mouth. And so you know it, you've heard it, you've seen it. You are able to access that word out of your heart. That's why I recommend that you read scripture every day and you memorize scripture. Get it in your heart. So if you ever lose your Bible, you have it. It's close to you and you can speak it and you can utilize it to give you encouragement. You don't know what the future may bring. You don't know if you're going to have access to your Bibles. There's thousands of people in Los Angeles, even here today, that don't have their Bibles because they burned up in fires. They may have lost their phone also. And so when that word is in your heart and in your mouth, it is close to you and it is part of you, and you can utilize it whenever you need it. Verse 9, Romans 10. "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Well, let me just stop there and say again, just like Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 10, the confession comes from your mouth that you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, because Jesus has authority over death. Jesus showed us with the resurrection that he has power over death, and we also have that power, that death will not hold us, that death, there will be no sting in death. The moment that you close your eyes here on this earth, you're going to be transported and start your next life in heaven. Your spirit and your soul will be transported into heaven, and so death will not hold you down. Death will not keep you from God. Death will not keep you from your ultimate destiny, which is eternal life with the Lord God and with Jesus Christ. And so it is important that you confess that God raised Jesus from the dead, that you believe that. Jesus isn't in the tomb. If you go to Israel and look at that tomb, you're not going to find the bones of Jesus there. You're not going to find anything of Jesus there, because God raised him from the dead. And it's important that you understand the power of death has no power over Jesus Christ, and it has no power over you. You're going to live for all eternity with the Lord God. The natural death, yes, we're all going to have a natural death, but the eternal life is given to us. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness." That again is the justification, that we're judged as righteous. "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ went to the cross. You believe in your heart that Jesus Christ shed his perfect precious blood for you. You believe in your heart that that blood is able to cancel your sin, to wash your sin away. And so that is the belief that you have. It starts in your heart. And then again, you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You confess with your mouth that you believe he went to the cross. You confess with your mouth that you believe he rose after 3 days and that he is now sitting at the right hand of God. So with the mouth, you confess what the heart already believes. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him, whoever believes on Jesus will not or never be put to shame. And verse 13, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, beloved, we're calling upon the name of the Lord here at Gather the Outcast Ministry in Africa. We're calling upon the name of the Lord. We encourage others to call upon the name of the Lord. And so that is the essence and the basics of salvation, the mechanics of salvation. Just like the mechanics of your car, you have to understand the engine, you have to understand the transmission, you have to understand the drivetrain, all of these things. The mechanics of salvation starts in the heart. You believe in your heart, then you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Well, we hope you have made that confession in your life. I hope you are a born-again believer. But again, if you're not, it can start today. Let me know if you want to make a decision or if you have made a decision. Let me know if you want to be baptized. We can also get you baptized. We can talk about baptism here on this program next week. But the confession starts in your heart, and I hope you have all confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We praise the Lord for all of you. We'd like to hear from you. Sit down today. Write us out a check. Help keep these broadcasts going. We'd love to hear from you. If you have prayer requests, let us know what you're praying for. We'd be happy to pray with you. If you've made any decision, let us know. PurePrairie@hotmail.com. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.